Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, everyone?
Hi, besties!
My name is Ian Allred, and I'm a mini Gleek.
My name is Lena Knatzer, and I am also a mini Gleek. Let's get into it.
Welcome to our mini episode where we read your feedback, and many people just specifically ask us to cast different movies starring the Glee characters. That's kind of what this has become.
I love doing it. I really like it. It's very fun.
There's also plenty of other opinions and perspectives in there as well.
But it's mostly about High School Musical and Teen Beach Movie and also Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I'm really excited to get into all of that. But before we get started, so last week in our episode audition, we announced that we were going to start calling, well, back it up.
If anyone super cares about spoilers a ton, just skip ahead like 2 minutes, everyone.
But also, you know, maybe stay. Who knows? So we announced that we were going to refer to Coach Beast with his dead pronouns. And we've gotten some feedback that makes some people uncomfortable. And hear me out, y'all. We are not in the business of doing that. So we tweeted out asking if people were comfortable, if they would be willing to like chat with us about that. And so us alongside some of our trans listeners, we have decided to, instead of using dead pronouns or even he, him, just until he comes out, that we would use neutral pronouns and go with they, them, and then just refer to him as Coach Beast. And then once he comes out, we will continue on with he, him. But until then, we're going to do they, them, because, you know, dead naming isn't fun and cool. And if that makes people uncomfortable, we're not going to do that. So, yeah. And I also just want to say, thank you all for, like, we got that email when the episode, like, a couple hours after the episode came out. And even that email was, like, so kind and, you know, just, like, really trying to help us, you know, add a perspective in there. And then everyone who DM'd us and everyone who was, like, willing to chat with us, everyone who emailed us about all of that and shared their thoughts and experiences, I just want to say thank you for that. You know, Ian and I cannot make this clear enough. We are not experts on anything. I truly didn't know that this many people would be listening to our podcast about the show that Ian and I have been talking about for so many years. And it's lovely to have you all here. But also, you know, we're two randos who don't know anything. So I just want to say thank you for being so kind and so generous with your time and your thoughts. And so willing to, you know, help us, you know, make this a cooler, safer place for everybody. And we want it to be that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get into the mini episode, the mini-sode of our lovely show, Glee, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Up first, we have an email from Felix.
All right. It says, one thing I've realized recently is the attitude towards Kurt's femininity. I'm relatively new to the Glee fandom, so I don't know what people were like back when it aired, but recently loads of people are seeing it as a negative thing. In Audition, he has the line, fashion has no gender, and I still can't believe that it was aired in 2010. And I know next episode Kurt is wearing a skirt for one of the scenes. So my question to the Kurt antis who see Kurt's femininity as a bad thing is, why are y'all praising celebrities for dressing feminine and being like guys can wear dresses when we have Kurt Hummel doing it in 2010? How is it bad LGBTQ plus representation to have a stereotypical gay character when people today will get praised for it? That probably made no sense. It's hard to explain in writing, but that won't stop me trying. Anyway, for this week's assignment, which we said that for Audition, our pretend assignment of the week was a top 40 song from 2010. Felix says, since I'm not a performer in any way, rather than choosing a song I'd be good at singing from the 2010 top 40, I chose my favorite song. And I was going to look all through the list, but as soon as I saw my first thought at number 5, I had to choose it. OMG by Usher. I cannot dance to save my life, but the amount of times I have imagined myself recreating the music video to this is insane. Also, I'm going by UK Top 40.
International listener!
So my top 40 might be different from yours. From Felix. Thank you, Felix.
I love that. I remember like watching the episode and seeing like the fashion has no gender thing, and I was like, hell yeah, of course it doesn't. And like, hear me out. I was going to school in 2010 here in America, and that was not a thing, you know? Like, people weren't as like bold as Kurt was, and at least in my conservative town. But I loved seeing that, and I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, we've said it before, we'll say it again. Glee sucks as a show, and it has a lot of problems. But one thing that Glee does well that we often forget because it's so, like, it's a decade later now, is Glee truly just put gay characters on the screen and let them be gay and let them fall in love and have relationships and be themselves in a time period, and especially on a TV station where that was not the norm. So, Ryan Murphy, we do hate you, but we also tip our hats to you in that regard.
And that's so true. Like, you know, people today, like, totally praise, you know, my boy Harry Styles for wearing a dress. But, like, Kurt was doing it in 2010, man. Mm-hmm. We love to see it. Heck, thank you, Felix, for your message. Up next, we have a voicemail from M.
Hi, besties. My name is M. I pronounce her she, her, and I've been listening for a while. I'm also that really annoying bitch who is constantly tagging you guys and stuff on TikTok. So, sorry about that. And I have two things. One, I would like to know your sun, moon, and rising Glee characters. And second, so Rachel's class, like her graduating class, no one older than them ever joins the Glee Club, and I want to know why. Is it because the producers didn't want anyone to be able to steal the spotlight, or what? But I love you guys. I'm going to continue to tag you in TikToks. So sorry. Okay, bye.
I literally could not know less about sun, moon, and rising. So we're going to leave that to Lena, who's an expert on those things. Regarding everyone being a sophomore in the first season.
Literally, what the hell is that about?
It makes near zero sense, but I believe it's just because they didn't want to commit to a character that they were going to have to write off soon. That they wanted, because it's never stated in season one that they're sophomores. No. They could be any grade except freshmen. They just decide that they're sophomores when they get to the second season to make them juniors, specifically because they didn't want to have to write anyone off sooner. But here's my big thought. Matt gets written off anyway. So why, if that happened, why couldn't Will have just said exactly like Matt, as we know, was a senior and he graduated?
You're an idiot.
It doesn't make any sense that no upperclassman ever would want to audition for the Glee Club. You can only audition if you're a freshman or sophomore.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Let's get into the sun, moon, and rising of this. M was kind enough to include, like, in the title of her message, that sun, it just in, like, super short terms, sun is your personality and, like, your soul. Your moon is your emotional core, and your rising is, like, your outer appearance, like, physically and also to the world. So, here's mine. And I probably can do one for you, too, Ian.
Please do me.
Okay.
I would love to know.
I think that I am a curt sun.
Okay.
I think I am a Jesse St. James moon. And I think I'm a Quinn rising.
Wow.
I think you are a Rachel sun.
Yeah.
I think you are... an arty moon.
Yeah.
And I think you are also a Quinn rising.
Wow. What outer appearance is rising? Are you saying I look like Diana Agron? Because that is high
that
praise.
That is what I'm saying. You look just like her.
Well, we could be twins.
Honestly, I've always thought so. Thank you, Em, for that message. Very good points.
I used to get that all the time in 2010. They'd be like, aren't you that girl that plays Quinn on Glee? And I would say, no, I'm a 15-year-old boy.
Thank you, Em, for that message. Up next, we have a voicemail from Stella.
Hi, guys. My name is Stella. I go by she, they. I'm in line for a COVID test while listening to your audition episode. It's really good, by the way. I love y'all. Y'all are awesome. One thing that really bugs me about this episode is that Sam very quickly mentions that he's dyslexic, and then he says, so my grades aren't that good, and that's really hurtful because I'm a dyslexic person, and he's kind of equating being dyslexic to being dumb, and that is not the same thing. If you are a dyslexic person, you work really hard to get grades, you can get good grades. So that was hurtful. And it's never mentioned again. Which I think is stupid, because that would have been great representation. And I'm sorry I'm speaking so fast. You may not want to put this in the episode. But yeah, have a good day. Y'all are awesome. I love you so much. Okay, bye.
Stella, we love you so much. Stella, I hope your COVID test went well. Oh my gosh. I know what that... getting a COVID test is so scary. Gosh. I love this message so much. It is... a big qualm I have with, like, a lot of television in general is they, like, make learning disabilities, like, something that makes you dumb, when in all actuality, they could, and having a dyslexic character on TV is so awesome, and if they would have been, like, if Sam would have had the line, like, I'm dyslexic, so, like, I have to work really hard at school, they could have done that. But, like, my grades aren't very good. Like, what the fuck, Ryan? Like, what is that about? I don't know. It makes me upset as well. And I just hate this show. You know.
Well, it's also just cheap representation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where you have the person say a line to be like, hi, this community, we're representing you, so please watch our show. But then you completely abandon it. It's never brought up again. Never again is it ever mentioned that Sam is dyslexic. It feels like kind of a cheap ploy to get, like, people who have dyslexia to watch the show.
Yeah.
But they don't actually want to follow through on any of it.
And also insult them while they're doing it. Ugh. Whatever.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, we don't know much about Sam, but Sam is pretty, like coded to be a character who's not very smart. And it sucks that they're equating that to him being dyslexic. And that sucks. Mm-hmm. And I thank you, Stella, for pointing that out. I really appreciate that message.
And also, Stella, just now... the results from my COVID test came in, and I'm going to get them live on air. I am negative,
Yay!
Everyone. Can you imagine if it was positive?
Yes.
And live on air, I found out I had COVID. I like how I always say live as if this is airing live.
Yeah, people would hear this Monday. It's currently Saturday at noon.
But good news, everyone. We don't have to have the minisode being Ian processing that he can't do anything or see anyone, and he has to separate from his family. We're fine. I don't have COVID. Anyways, on to the next message. Thank you, Stella.
Up next, we have a voicemail from Evie.
Oh, I did not mean to do that. Shoot. That's a problem for later. Okay. Hi, I'm Evie. I'm recording my bathroom, by the way, just because it's the only quiet place in my house. And now I just knocked a glass off the counter, and now I'm wasting a bunch of y'all's time. Okay. Hi, Lena. Hi, Ian. I'm Evie. She, they from Texas, so not international, unfortunately. Okay, so knowing that, like, you guys are both Buffy and Glee fans makes me know, because I'm a Buffy and Glee fan, that y'all are very well acquainted with having to, like, explain a show to someone and have to be, like, you know, like, convince them to watch it, because usually there's some kind of, like, stigma or something around it. So I'm just wondering, like, you can talk about Buffy or Glee, because I'm so here for you guys' like, Buffy long con podcast. So, like, you know, how do you explain Buffy and Glee to someone? Okay, I'm gonna let you go, because, like, I only have 10 seconds left and my foot is bleeding. So y'all are great. Bye.
The best, I mean, Evie, I hope your foot's okay. The best is that when that episode starts, the timing of the glass shattering is so perfect that it seems like you're doing a bit.
Yeah, it's totally
seems and then as the like message progresses, you realize it's not a bit. You actually knocked a glass off your counter.
When I first heard that message, my heart, and even just hearing it then, I knew that this was going to happen. Like, literally, I have listened to this message a couple of times, and every time it frightens me, and I look around like I dropped something.
All right. We're going to try and do this as concise as possible. Yeah. We're going to do it like we have like a 1 minute sales pitch to get someone to watch these shows. Okay. Lena, do you think we should each do both shows, or do you think each of us should do one?
I think we should do one.
Okay. Which one do you want, Glee or Buffy?
I can do Buffy.
Okay, I was going to say, I think I love Buffy.
You do.
But I didn't discover Buffy until the end of high school, whereas you, like, grew up with Buffy.
I did.
So I think you're the stronger choice.
Yeah. I also have made, like, loving Buffy my entire personality. I have a Buffy the Vampire Slayer tattoo and everything. All right. Hello, people. Let me tell you about this television show. So, once into every generation, a slayer is born. So, there is a young girl. Her name is Buffy. She was chosen to be the vampire slayer. So, this is like, the slayer is like her, it's like a chosen one ability that she, like, alone will, like, save the world from, like, hellish demons. She is brought to Sunnydale, California in Sunnydale High, that, you know, backing up, Sunnydale High is built on a hellmouth, so she has to move to Sunnydale to, like, protect the people of Sunnydale and also the world.
You have 30 seconds left.
No way, I'm not, you're not, what? I didn't know this was timed. But
she said we had a minute sales pitch.
I didn't know it was timed, I just thought it was like, now I feel.
Well, now anyway, you're just anyway, burning anyway, through your
anyway,
time.
She's a cheerleader. She's a normal. She's like, she wants to be a normal girl, but she, you know, has these like superhero powers. She ends up falling for a vampire, but like she also slays vampires, and it's like really dramatic and it's crazy. And she is so like awesome and fun. And her best friend is a witch, and her other best friend is like a random dude who's a misogynist. And she is so fun, and it's amazing, and she's so powerful, and it like is very inspiring, and it's beautiful, and I really recommend it to everyone. It's the best.
And time. What do you think, everyone? Did it work? Are you gonna watch
Buffy? I don't even know that I actually did it. It's a story about a girl in high school who is a superhero but also has to balance like being a normal girl with being a superhero and like the responsibilities that come with putting the fate of the world on a child. And it's so good. It's literally I cannot recommend Buffy enough to people. It's so important to me as a human person. That was really stressful.
And it walks a line that Glee fails a lot, mm-hmm. which is that Buffy is just campy enough.
Oh, yeah.
That like it doesn't bother you how ridiculous it is. Yeah. And yet it still goes full in on like emotional stakes and drama.
Absolutely.
All right. It also, to answer many questions we got, Buffy is not a musical TV show. There is literally one musical episode and that's it. All right. I'm going to do Glee now. You ready?
Yeah, do Glee now. Yeah.
So, Glee is a satire on teen dramas, like dramas about high school, like viewed through the lens of high school show choir and the competitive world of high school show choir, that then through the course of the show forgot that it was a satire and began taking itself very seriously. It's got a lot of problems, but if you like musical theater and you don't mind having a guilty pleasure, it's the perfect show for you.
Well,
that was my 1 minute sales pitch. Did it work?
Very good. Great. I think it was better than mine.
However, Glee is not a show that I would ever recommend to anyone.
No.
I do not recommend that anyone watch Glee. If you've already watched it, you're too far in.
I feel like we get all the time, like, emails and, like, DMs all the time that are like, hey, I've never watched Glee before. I watched it, like, specifically to listen to your podcast. And to those people, I say, sorry.
Happy to have you here. Yeah. You are now cursed.
Yeah. Anyway,
you have now been sucked into the black hole.
Evie, thank you so much for that message. I hope you're doing well. I hope your foot's okay. Up next, we have an email from M.
M says, hi, Randa 20-somethings. So I'm currently listening to season 1, episode 21, which is Funk. And I just need to gush about Quinn Fabre because I don't know anyone in real life that watches the show, which is for the best because it dealt unimaginable psychological damage alongside the horror of being perceived. Anyways, as a young 13 through 15 year old sapphic who is oblivious to being sapphic but knew that something was off, I know that I was supposed to relate to Santana. I mean, she's a person of color, a lesbian, probably has religious trauma, so I should have seen myself in her. And not saying that I don't relate to her, but I really related to another character first. Quinn, there's no way that she's not queer, Fabre. When I first watched Glee, I was unexplainably drawn to her. Reflecting back, I saw a lot of myself and my life in her. Quinn as a character gave this aura of being repressed, of yearning, of being aware that she's off in some way, of not quite fitting into societal norms, of having a lot of internal struggle that she doesn't often show. I don't know if I explained that correctly, but little did I know she would set a precedent on what characters I would be drawn to from then on. Women who repress their feelings and wants, who are always demonized in some way, who are usually fucked up and traumatized, and whose emotions can be seen mostly in their eyes. For example, Azula from Avatar, Lexa from The 100, and Lena Luthor from Supergirl. Love you guys. I discovered you in 2020 at the height of this damn panorama and have found so much comfort in you. Every time I felt helpless and so alone because I lead this double life of being, quote, normal and straight in real life and being so fantastically queer online, you guys never failed to remind me that there's a whole world out there that's mine for the taking. Looking forward to listening to future episodes, M. And then she puts a Filipino flag and a Canadian flag, so I'm going to assume this is an international listener.
International listener!
Also a random 20-something.
I love this message so much. I have always felt like Quinn is pretty queer coded and not in this, not even.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Like, and it's something that, like, you know, like she's always felt like something's off about her. She's like kind of in the background. She like falls back and only has emotion in her eyes. And this message totally like sums that up. I totally feel like Quinn is a queer person and like has so many queer traits and is so queer coded. So I so appreciate this message.
Straight up, this might be a hot take.
Oh, what's your hot take?
It is a result of there not being enough representation in media, but I think it is very common for people to like want more characters to be queer for a good reason because there's not enough queer characters. And so they will sometimes like look for evidence that a character is queer when it's not there.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I don't think Quinn is like that.
No, evidence
is there.
Yeah. As I think we mentioned, totally
she drew hearts next to Rachel's name in her notebook that one time.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll keep our eyes out for more things. I'll like, you know, I'm watching this show with a fine tooth comb and there's no way. Em, thank you so much for that message. Up next, we have a voicemail from Lila.
Hi, Ian and Lena. My name's Lila. My pronouns are she, they. I'm from Connecticut. And I'm in the middle of watching the audition podcast. And I just had to pause it and ask this question. So my question is, if Glee were to do a Teen Beach Movie episode, like what characters would everyone in Glee play? And for fun, you could also do who would Ryan Murphy cast them as, because obviously he always cast them not how they should be cast. So, yeah.
Okay, truly at least like 5 or 6 people asked us to do this, you guys. I think Aiden was the first person to ever ask us to cast a movie mm-hmm. as the Glee characters. And Aiden, you truly have opened the biggest can of worms.
Keep them coming. I love to do it.
I am going to try and make this not be the Teen Beach Movie Long Con. I'm going to try and make this one be a lot more concise mm-hmm. than Buffy was last week. Lena is not super familiar with Teen Beach Movie, so yeah. Lena, feel free to chime in if you have any strong thoughts.
I will. I've only seen it the one time with you, so I'm sorry, guys.
I have, in fact, seen it too many times.
I know you have.
Also, something I noticed while casting this is, for how feminist of a Disney Channel original movie this movie is, it truly does not have very many large female characters. So I did my best. Let's find out how it went. Also, literally, these are all hot takes. I was like first person to come to mind. I'm writing mm-hmm, them down. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these, I don't know if I can back them up. Brady, which is Ross Lynch's character, I put Mike Chang. Mike is charming. Mike can dance really well.
Oh, he would Brady's be a big so dance good lead. In that. Oh my right? gosh, and I that's just, great.
Like, I think he would have so much fun with that role. Yeah. I think he'd be fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
For Mac, which Mac is like pretty sullen and she's like a cynic. Mm-hmm. And then her arc is like Brady's arc is that he learns to take things more seriously. Mac's arc is that she learns to loosen up a bit. You know, that old song and dance mm-hmm. that freaking like every romantic comedy ever written does. Yeah. I would have Mac. I double casted it because I couldn't. There aren't enough women parts. Right, I put either Santana or Mercedes.
I think that's good.
They both have beautiful voices. They both can do the like dry humor very well. I think it's fantastic. Okay, so now we're within the movie of it all. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know what Teen Beach Movie is about, it's literally about two people who get sucked into an old movie musical from the 1960s. So the leads of the movie are Tanner and Layla. Mm-hmm. I put Kurt and Quinn Fabre.
They would be Hear me so out. Cute. And like, if Quinn singing Fallen For You, that'd be so cute.
And if you watch that movie, you cannot convince me that Tanner is not gay. Like, no is. Part of that performance makes me believe that man is straight.
Which I think adds to the charm. It's like a 60s movie.
Mm-hmm. And like, and they have the very like shiny Caucasian mm-hmm. Frankie and Annette.
Yes.
Like beach movie look to them.
They totally do.
I think they would be wonderful. Butchie, who is Layla's older brother, who like for some reason has a New York accent, even though his sister doesn't and he's in California.
Yeah, they live on the beach.
Yeah. That's Sam Evans. Sea Cat, who's Jordan Fisher's character, is Finn.
Oh,
I
good.
Don't know why Finn is Sea Cat. I can't back it up. Giggles, who is the girl in the fringe bikini who dances mm-hmm, all the time, mm-hmm. is Brittany because she's the dancer. Obviously, I'm sorry. For yeah. everything we ever cast, Brittany gets the dance part. Chi-Chi, who is the biker with the huge beehive, mm-hmm. who also has a New York accent. Why do all of the bikers have New York accents except for Layla when she's also a biker and she's related to some of them? Yeah. Anyways, Chi-Chi is Tina. And for Rascal, I put... literally no one. Rascal is not in the show. Because the issue is, Rascal only has like 5 lines. The reason he's in the show is to like be a dancer. Mm-hmm. And I already cast Mike as Brady, and none of the other guys can dance well enough to be Rascal. So I guess Matt Rutherford transfers back to McKinley and he's great. Rascal. This is the hottest take.
Oh, whoa, I'm excited.
I hate the villains in Teen Beach Movie. Every time it cuts to the villains, I fast forward. I think they're so boring. The villains are like this man who like has a weather machine and is going to make it snow so that they like close the beach down mm-hmm. and then his assistant. And I truly don't know the characters' names because I find them so boring. So their names are Evil Weatherman and Kevin Chamberlain because Kevin Chamberlain plays that character. And I said, hot take. They would be played by Azemio and Karofsky.
which one's which? Who's Azemio?
Azemio's the weatherman. Karofsky's Kevin Chamberlain. I cannot tell you why.
No, I like it. I don't think that's even a hot take. I think that's great.
They get in trouble with Figgins for bullying the Glee Club. This is actually a plot line that does happen in a future episode of Glee. And to avoid getting suspended from the football team, they are forced to participate in the production of Teen Beach Movie. That's how I justify them being there. Here's how I think Ryan Murphy would cast Teen Beach Movie. I only did about half the characters because I didn't want to think about it too hard. Brady would be Blaine Anderson. The most basic choice Ryan Murphy could have made. Mac, I said maybe would be Santana or Mercedes as well.
Okay.
I don't know. Tanner and Layla, 100% Finchel. There's not a doubt in my mind that he would make those characters Finchel. Butchie would be Puck. I stopped casting there for the teenage characters. And then I said that he would make the evil weatherman Sue, and that Kevin Chamberlain would be either Will or Becky.
Oh my God, Becky is Kevin Chamberlain? That would be cute. I think that'd be good.
I think Sue and Becky would be really fun. Yeah. I just truly don't like it when they cast the adult characters in the show. Because I'm like, no, it's the High School Musical. Mm-hmm. Stop putting the teachers in
it.
So I refuse to cast them in my version. All right, there's my Teen Beach Movie cast, everyone. Nina, do you have any strong thoughts?
No, I love Mike being Ross Lynch's character. I think that is revolutionary. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that message. Well, that was fun.
Thank you, Lila, and the numerous people who sent in that question. It was awesome.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Up next, we have an email from Zinnia.
All right. Hey, Lena and Ian. I know I've already sent in a voice message a couple weeks ago, but I just finished listening to your episode talking about Audition, and I have a lot of thoughts. I really like this episode, and I find a lot of the plot lines and jokes funny, but there are some huge issues. Obviously, the racism towards Mike and Tina is absolutely unacceptable. These writers are acting like they are making fun of racists when in actuality, what they are doing is making light of the racism that so many Asian Americans have to face throughout their lives. They aren't poking fun at these racists, they are poking fun at the idea of being Asian itself, which is very harmful considering that racism against Asian people is so normalized and so often not taken seriously. I also have some thoughts about the Rachel plotline. I think if you don't take this plotline seriously, it's so funny. I love a psychotic Rachel. However, like you guys mentioned, it stops being funny when the writers want you to take this seriously and Rachel stops being an exaggeration of the stereotypical self-absorbed, quote, will do anything to be in the spotlight high school theater kid, and starts to be an unlikable narcissistic monster. One thing I'm surprised you guys didn't mention, Zinnia, I'm surprised we didn't mention this either, totally. And I'm frankly mad that we didn't. Is how Will deals with this entire situation by not dealing with this situation. When he finds out Rachel sent someone to a literal crack house, the only thing he does is say, you have to make this right. Mm-hmm. William, you are the teacher, an adult of this situation. You need to be the one who needs to do something. You need to be the one, as the adult authority here, to show Rachel there are going to be huge consequences when you do terrible things to others. I don't condone what Rachel does most of the time, but I still like her as a character. However, I cannot stand when she does terrible things and faces no consequences because Will is such an enabler for her toxic behavior. Yep. It also shows how Will has such huge favoritism towards Rachel because in the next episode, Kurt tells Mr. Shu to stop being uptight, mm-hmm. and Will immediately sends him to Figgins' office. But when Rachel sends Sunshine to a crack house, it's just, you need to make this right. Mm-hmm. Will Schuster deserves nothing but being burned at the stake while having to listen to Mercedes, Santana, and Tina trio number that he never would have signed, but we so desperately need. Can you imagine the impact that would have on society? Maybe the 2008 housing crisis simply would have stopped if we had gotten that trio. Thanks a lot, Ryan Murphy. One last thing. I know that Sam is rumored to be originally brought on the show to be a boyfriend for Kurt, but the idea was scrapped and he starts dating girls on the show. I think it would have been good to have Sam be bisexual because bisexuality wasn't really being represented in media, still isn't really, especially not with men. Having a male bi character who is also pretty masculine and comfortable in his sexuality could have been important to help show the validity of bi men. Too bad Ryan Murphy is super biphobic and the show doesn't see bi men as valid. As a bisexual, I have a lot of opinions on this, but because it happens a little later in the season, I'll leave it at this. Anyways, I apologize for the really lengthy email. I just had a lot of thoughts about this episode. I'm so excited to listen to you guys talk about the season, and I'll probably have a lot of opinions on the Rocky Horror episodes, so be expecting that. I love both you guys so much. From Zinnia.
This email rocks.
Lena and I were talking about it, and we were like, this email, all of your points are so well thought out. I don't think we have anything to add.
I straight up have nothing
except
to add to
that we agree.
Yeah, I said retweet.
So thank you.
Thank you, Zinnia. I have nothing to add to that. Up next, we have a voicemail from Miranda.
Hey guys, this is Miranda from Michigan. I usually email you guys, but my dog isn't letting me use my laptop and I have thoughts and I don't want to forget them. So with the last episode, auditions, I totally agree with how terrible Rachel was, especially with her conversation at the end with Finn and how she says she'll never break up with him, but also how toxic he is when he says he can't afford to lose her because he doesn't have any status and all that. And it's just so toxic. But the thing is, I think this is a really good example of how the show could have been great, but totally failed and missed the mark. I would have loved it if they were self-aware enough to highlight how toxic and immature these two are and how bad they are together, then have them spiral and break up and have redemption arcs where they grow. And every time I watch season two, I just love the song What I Did for Love because I get in my head that it just encapsulates how out of touch and self-obsessed Rachel is. And I think it's a really self-aware and ironic moment for her character. And then it just never goes anywhere. And I'm always disappointed.
Retweet.
Truly, this show. You can, like, frankly, I would prefer for these characters to do these outlandish, cartoonishly bad things because it does lead to comedy. Yeah. But like you said, but then have them, like, learn and grow from it. Stop trying to trick us into thinking they're still good people.
Yeah, totally.
And What I Did for Love, truly, if it had been more self-aware.
Yeah.
And then had led to stuff, could have been such an incredibly funny moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just what this show could have been, you know?
I know.
Well, thank you for your message, Miranda.
Yeah, thank you, Miranda. Up next, we have a voicemail from Ray.
Hello, Lena and Ian. It is Ray. I have been loving the podcast. It's made me laugh out loud so much. You two are amazing. Someone recently asked you what you thought of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, and you explained that you hadn't watched it yet. I have been enjoying it. But anyways, what that leads into is that it made me wonder how y'all would rank Glee, Smash, Gallivant, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Am I missing any? Those are the ones I can think of. But you get it. The musical TV shows of our day, how would you rank them? And if I'm missing any, please go ahead and add them to your list. Okay, bye. Love y'all.
Ray, I'm sure you are missing some, but those are the only ones that I'm familiar with, so we're sticking to that list.
What is Gallivant? I've never even heard of that before.
Gallivant was on in like 2015, like 2014, 2015. It had music by Alan Menken, who's the guy who did like Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid and Hunchback, like all that stuff. And did he do Hunchback or was that Stephen Schwartz? Doesn't matter.
No, he also did Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, he did. And it's set in like medieval times, but it like the music is all kind of like modern day inspired.
It was a good. Anyways, did you like it? I mean, tell me your ranking. We'll see.
That being said, hot take, don't come for me. Gallivant's in last place, everyone.
Hell.
I couldn't get into it. It's probably a personal preference thing. Yeah. Because I think that objectively it is a better show than like Smash, but for some reason I could never really get into Gallivant. I watched. What?
Do people not like Smash?
Smash is, in my opinion, a very bad show. That doesn't mean that I don't like it.
Yeah, I love Smash.
It's a very bad show. That brings us on to our next point. Gallivant, I just could never get into. I watched the first season. I never watched the second season. That's in last place for me. Second to last place is Smash, and here's why. I love Smash.
I love Smash, man.
Something about it is incredible, but I cannot deny that it is such a trash fire. That show is bad. That show is Glee. It has all the same problems mm-hmm. that Glee had, where it was supposed to be a show about like making a musical, and yet it became about like all this ridiculous soap opera personal drama.
Yeah.
And it has like so many unnecessary plot twists, and like Megan Hilton's character straight up like overdoses on medication in one episode, yeah. and then the next episode they act like it never happened. Like,
yeah, she like leaves the theater in a costume in the middle of the show and then like goes back to the show. Yeah. Uma Thurman is in the show for some reason.
She goes on stage freaking wasted. Like, ruins the show, gets fired, leaves the theater in her costume still, and then sings, "Here's to the freaking weekend, yes! I'll drink to that." It's so bad! It's such a bad show!
I love Smash, man.
And yet, I love it.
Yeah, let me and stream also, Smash. Jeez.
This is not a hot take. The original songs they wrote for Smash are fantastic. Oh, I frequently listen to the Bombshell cast
recording.
I know,
I'm trying to get into Bombshell. I want Bombshell to be a real thing so bad.
Well, they announced that they were bringing it to Broadway, but after the pandemic, who knows if that's still happening.
Yeah, so true.
But I would pay to see Bombshell.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So Smash, I have to keep it in third place just because I know in my brain that it's very bad, though in my heart, it's very good.
I think I know what the rest of your ranking is going to be.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. Second place is Glee.
Obviously.
Glee, because Smash takes itself 100% seriously. Yes. Glee is tongue-in-cheek enough that their ridiculous plot lines are more forgivable, whereas Smash, I'm like, I can't look past this. And so Glee gets second place. First place, of course, it is the gold standard of musical theater television. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is fantastic. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. Mm-hmm. I'm rewatching it right now, not because of this message. I just happened to be rewatching it and then got this message and was like, wow, it's very good.
It is very
Rachel Bloom is fantastic. I got her book for Christmas. It was very funny.
<you? laughs>
Everyone watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I did. All right. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, thank you,
Those are Ian's thoughts on musical TV.
Up next, we have a voicemail from Haley.
Hi, Ian and Lena. I'm Haley. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm from Washington. Last minisode, you were talking about the Blank Space Mansion, and that sent me on a spiral of trying to figure out what a Taylor Swift tribute episode of Glee would look like. And pretend it's now, so you can have like Folklore and Evermore songs and stuff. But also, I know that Ryan Murphy would make Kurt's storyline center around You Need to Calm Down and have Rachel sing All Too Well, which I wouldn't love, but like imagine Kurt singing The Best Day to Bert or Quinn singing Style to try to get Finn back. And let's pretend Taylor never had any real life dynamics with any of the actors. Anyway, I need your thoughts. What would you want to see? Also, I love the podcast so much. Oh my gosh. I thought I wouldn't have time after all that, but I do. So I can tell you how much I love you guys. I love you guys so much.
Thank you, Haley.
All right. So Ian knows a lot about Teen Beach Movie, right? And he knows a little bit about Taylor Swift. I know a lot about Taylor Swift and a little bit about Teen Beach Movie. So we're doing a swap-a-roni. I'm taking the reins for the Taylor Swift of it all. So do I know what this episode, the plot is? Probably not. Do I have 10 songs picked out all for characters? Absolutely. Here we go.
Heck yeah.
Blaine Anderson is singing Cruel Summer, baby. He'd be so great. Rachel Berry is singing Peace. It's the, have you heard that song? That one's from Folklore.
I have not.
It's so good. I think it's one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs ever. It's so good, but it's all about like, would it be enough if I could never give you peace? Like, life with me is never going to be like peaceful. It's always going to be rocky. Like, I've chosen this life and you're choosing me. Is that okay? Is that ever going to be enough? It's incredible. And I just think if she sang that to Finn, it would be so cute. I Did Something Bad. I gave that to Queen Bee Quinn, baby. Wouldn't that be so fun? And then I have Right Where You Left Me, which is a new song from Evermore. It's one of the bonus tracks, and it's about like being left alone in your hometown and like how like so many people like or like that's just how I feel about being in my college town right now. I projected that, but it's about like someone hurting you and you just like kind of, like then them moving on and them just being kind of like left in the same place. So I said that Finn should sing that song. August is a song from Folklore. I thought Kurt should sing that song. I totally agreed with everything Haley said, so I didn't want to copy, but I thought that Kurt should sing August. August is from Folklore. And I can't, you don't know anything about these, so. and I then, know. Do you know the story of us? Like,
is that the music video where she and the guy like meet and then they like get married and they like grow old together?
No. It's the one where she's dating this guy and then he makes out with her best friend in the library and they like go to a private school.
Oh, I think I was thinking of Mine.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know the story of us. Truly, no. Here's what I know about Taylor Swift. I know every Taylor Swift song that played on the radio every day in 2009 and then I know 1989 and like that's kind of it. I know like a little bit of Red.
Yeah. So makes sense. Story of Us is like a... it's like, it's in Red. Is it in Red? It might be in, no, I'm kidding. It's in Speak Now. I'm so sorry, you guys. But it's like at the tail end of her country thing. So it's like kind of on the countryside and that's like more, it's like kind of rocky. So I said that Finn should sing that song because it goes hard. And you know, Clean. Clean is from 1989.
Yeah.
I think Quinn should sing that song.
Okay.
And then I have obviously All Too Well on here. There's no way we could do a Taylor Swift tribute episode without All Too Well. There's no way to do it. I said that Mercedes should sing All Too Well. Could you imagine, like, you call me up again just to break me like a promise? Wouldn't that be the best? And then I said that Britney should sing Tolerate It. And I said that Santana should sing Betty. And then I said that Sam should sing Invisible String. You don't know any of those songs.
No, I'm looking for like maybe a love story. Maybe a little bit of You Belong With Me, our song.
Not for me, dude. I mean, I love those songs, but not in my episode. So that's what I said. Maybe the plot is kind of along the lines of like Britney, where like, you know, maybe everyone's just like trouble in paradise. I have like couples in here who like, you know, love each other, but also who knows, you know? So thank you, Haley, for that message. I had a lot of fun doing it.
I will throw in Santana singing Look What You Made Me Do.
Oh, that would be so good.
There it is.
Oh, I love Reputation so much.
Yeah, I truly only know her like most basic songs.
I love Taylor Swift.
Did you know, everyone? I only listen to the radio. I am not cultured enough to like actually look up other music.
We do know that about you.
All right.
Okay. Well, up next, we have a voicemail from Brian.
To take us home.
Take us home.
Hi, Leon. Leon? Nope. Hi, Lena. Hi, Ian. My name is Brian. I use he, him pronouns. Oh, God. I'm from Akron, Ohio, which is the same place that Vocal Adrenaline is from. Heck yeah. And I just wanted to say that if you have not seen pictures of the Akron Civic Theater, you really need to look them up. Because my brother is in a show choir, and that's where they perform. And so that is a space where Vocal Adrenaline, if they were real, would perform all the time. And it's truly wild. Also, I've been holding this thought in since I listened to the episode Wheels, when Ian was talking about his family and all the stuff going on in his life. And Lena said, we love to learn and grow, but we hate the shiglee that gets us there. You're welcome for censoring that. But that's just been really helpful in kind of getting me through all the crazy stuff that's been happening lately, that it's all going to help me learn and grow, even though it sucks now. Love you guys so much. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, I pulled up a picture of the Akron Civic Theater. Where does this theater get off looking like
it's
this?
It's so beautiful.
It looks like an opera house.
Yeah. We'll upload a photo of it.
No wonder Vocal Adrenaline is so much more popular. I would pay to see literally anything in this theater. Literally.
I would pay to watch someone eat a sandwich in that theater.
Anyways.
Brian, thank you so much for that message.
We put this message last just because we thought it was such a nice sentiment. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sending it in, Brian. I think, you know, the world is just having a struggle, mm-hmm. and it has been for a long time.
Yeah.
I think this last year and a half has been real hard on everyone in some capacity. So just, you know, it's the shiglee that we got to get through
yeah.
for us to learn and grow.
Yeah. My heart goes out to you and to everybody. I love hearing from you guys. Well, heck, thank you for another beautiful, wonderful, exciting minisode. We had a great time doing it. If you guys want to be featured on our next minisode, if you have thoughts on Brittany, or audition or something like that, you can totally send us a voicemail at Recovering Gleek. At anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, or you can send us an email to recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Heck yeah. All right. Yeah. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. Tune in 2 days when we talk about Brittany.
Yeah. Love you.
And
guys.
Go spread that mini glee mm-hmm. all over the place.
All over the place. Take that glee.
Everywhere.
Spread it. Just put it.
Paint the town mini glee.
Mm-hmm. I want you to just fill your pockets with mini glee and just throw it like you are a flower girl at your older cousin's wedding and everyone's crying looking at you, but out of joy and excitement.
Aww. Everyone's crying because you're doing such a bad job that it's making them cry because they're like, yeah, wow, they're really butchering this, and they're all so sad about it.
That's not even what is happening. That's not what's happening. Every time you spread glee, no one is crying because of that. They're crying because you're so cute while you're doing it.
All right. Well, love you guys.
Love you guys. Bye. Here's a kiss on your forehead. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.